Thank you, choir, and all God's people said, amen. Wow, that's great singing. Thank you so much. What a joy it is to be here with you today. I want to invite you to take your Bibles, if you'll be finding, to the Old Testament book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, and turn to chapter 14 for the message this morning. What a joy. It is a privilege to be here at the Hardin Community Baptist Church. This is actually my second visit. We were privileged to be here on Justin's very first Sunday as official pastor back in September, and we got to meet many of you folks then and say hello, and then got to see a good many of you last evening. And let me say, on behalf of Justin and Monica and all of our family, thank you so much for coming and celebrating with them last night. We got a text message. Dale and Lisa got one this morning. Justin's parents, they were getting on the plane about 7:30, flying out to their honeymoon, and so everything was going well. I think they got woken up about 5:30 with a text message to say goodbye, so I'm glad he didn't text me that early this morning. They are on their way for their trip, and again, thank you for sharing in that very special day yesterday with them, and thank you so much for being a loving church family to Justin and to Monica. Justin talks to me quite often about his love for you and your love for him and Monica, and as they have been progressing and through all of this time, and now when they come back, I mean, they come back, you've got a pastor's wife and a pastor that's married and all of that kind of stuff. And we thank you from our family for your love for them and the way you have helped him. It was real funny when he asked me to come and preach today for him, that he was going to be away on the honeymoon. He said, would you just plan to stay over and then would you come and preach? And I said, what, you're not going to preach? I looked at him and I said, what kind of pastor are you? I mean, you know, you need to step up. I mean, you know, and I was trying to be as serious as I could, you know, I said, you know, some of us may expect you to be there. And he thought, really? And then the look on his face was probably, he said, do you think so? You think I need to? I said, no, I'm just going, get out of here. Get on out of town. We'll take care of it. And so I had to mess with him somehow. Again, thank you so much. And it's a thrill to have my family is here. My wife, my son, my daughter, and our adopted grandparents are here. Homer and Madonna, they were here before. And we're just so glad that you've welcomed all of us and our family. And I'm thrilled to be preaching back again in the state of North Carolina. There's just something about being here. I grew up over in a little town called Denver. My dad was transferred here back in 1974. I was in the third grade. We moved to Denver, never heard of Denver, didn't know where Denver was. And my dad, working for Duke Power, was transferred to McGuire Nuclear Station. And we drove through Denver, and I remember a sign that used to be out there. I don't know if it's still there. It says, welcome to the Denver of the East, you know. And we drove right through. There was a caution light there at the gas station, and drove right through, and we went, where was it? And that was it. I went to Rock Springs Elementary School, and it was a grocery store across the street, and the Red and White, I believe it was called then. So, and that was it. That's all Denver was. Now there's a four-lane. There's a bypass and all of this stuff. You've got a Chick-fil-A in Denver now. Praise God for that. And that's so wonderful. You know, and so we've grown up that nobody lived on Lake Norman. There was nothing there to live on, you know, and now NASCAR drivers discovered it, and now it's just multi-billion-dollar property, it seems like. So it's wonderful to see how all this community has changed. But see, I was saved in Denver. I was saved at our home church, Beth Haven Baptist in Denver, North Carolina, at the age of 9 years old. God saved me. I came to know the Lord, and I was called to preach there in that church, preached my first sermon in that church at the age on my 11th birthday. And so North Carolina, I met my wife here in North Carolina. She was on her way to Chapel Hill to college, and then she decided to come to Bible college where we were in Chattanooga. And so So I love the state of North Carolina. I'm telling you what, I feel like I've been a missionary for the last 31 years in South Carolina. So that's the way I look at myself. But it's so good to be back here in this wonderful state. The air's better here. The food's better. The water tastes better in North Carolina than it does South Carolina. It's just all so much better. And we're just through it. It's through what? No, I don't want you to. I'm just glad to be in North Carolina. It just really is just exciting, and I'm just thrilled to death. And thank you so much, for welcoming us. And as you have found Exodus chapter 14, we invite you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Not going to keep you long, and I know it's been a long weekend for many folks, and a wonderful day of worship here. But I believe God's got something for us today. And I just trust that God would just meet with us here in a very special way. Beginning in verse 5 of chapter 14. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people fled. The heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-Haroth before Baal-Zaphon. Now when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Father, in Jesus' name, bless the time we have here together today. Thank you for this precious church, this wonderful congregation of believers. Thank you, Lord, that of the love that they have shown to our nephew Justin and to Monica. And thank you for in these months that they have been serving together here in this place, what you're doing in this community and through this church. God, I pray that you will continue to work in a very special way. Lord, use them, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do here today. We give you praise and honor. Thank you for the time of worship. And then for the next few moments, I pray, Lord, you'll open our hearts to your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. May you do a work that will be real in our lives from this day. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We find here one of the most familiar stories in all of the Word of God. It is that of the nation of Israel as they are leaving the bondage of slavery after 490 years in Egyptian bondage and heading out and going to the promised land. And they find themselves surrounded by the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And it is here that one of the greatest events of all of the Bible take place. As a kid growing up in a Baptist church and all my life and in Sunday school, we hear these kinds of stories, and they become those stories that we tell and we share to our children and we pass down to our grandchildren. And then we love to teach these in Sunday school. And I remember the days when I was growing up in church, our teachers used something called flannel graph. Remember the little flannel board and the felt, and you take the little cutouts and you stick them up on it? And some of you are sitting here going, "I have no idea what that is." We use all the electronic and the media today, but those little felt pictures, we tell the story in Sunday school, we put up a little point, and we'd add to it as we go, and the little felt pictures would stay up there on that flannel board. And we love those things, and I can still see in my mind those pictures of Moses and the fire and the angel and the Red Sea parting and all those kinds of things. But I tell you, I can't read this passage of Scripture without thinking about the great movie of the Ten Commandments starring Charlton Heston. 1956 version. Now, there have been a lot of movies made about the Ten Commandments and the children of Israel and the cross of the rest, but none of them compare to the 1956 version, okay? You can have all your other modern movies and all your special, but for 1956, you go back and pull that one up. Go back and watch that and in that day and all the special. Man, that was tremendous. I mean, that is powerful. And in my mind's eye, Moses is Charlton Heston, and Charlton Heston is Moses, all right? Am I right about it? I mean, when you watch that, you see that powerful. And when I read this, I have that in my mind. I see that video, and I see that vision of what God did in crossing the Red Sea. And it's one of the great, great events, and it's one of the great stories of the Bible. And when I look at this, and I find in this passage, something I believe that God wants for us to learn today. And it's more than just a story. It's more than one of those watershed events of the history of the nation of Israel. But I believe in this passage this morning that we can find something that will help us this morning. Because I have found, and being in the ministry for 31 years, after pastoring churches for 24 years, and now for the last 2 years this month of being in full-time evangelism, I have seen that there are people in our churches, and as we walk with God and serve God, there are times in our lives where we get to a point where we don't know what to do. Things happen. Family situations and crisis. There are things that happen. There's job loss and financial difficulties, and there's the test come back from the doctor that changes our world, and we're faced with health situations, and then there are things that we get the phone calls in the middle of the night, and our lives are changed forever. And we look at our life and we're thinking about what's going on, and we look at our circumstances and we look at our checkbook and we look at what's going on around us, and we feel like there's just no way out. We feel like that we're surrounded by our circumstances. We feel like that maybe it's too tough to go on any further. But I want to tell you this morning, the Bible tells us something wonderful in this story that is for all of us here this morning. That God can make a way out. That there's nothing you will ever face. There's nothing that will ever come before you where you can get to a point where you can say that there's no way out. Because I want to tell you, as a child of God, God's got you in His hands. God's got you in His plan. God's working a plan and a purpose for your life. You may not see the way out right now. You may not know how it's going to happen. But there is a God in heaven who has made it possible that you can find your way out. And God will lead you if you'll trust Him. God will provide for you if you'll believe in Him. God will show you if you'll obey Him. And we can see from this passage some very powerful words that Moses uttered. If you'll notice down in our text in verse 13 for this morning, I want to focus on verse 13 and show you three things this morning that will help us, that when you think that there is no way out, I want to show you that God will make a way out. Notice number one, we see that Moses tells the people, he says, "Fear ye not." Number one, fear not. Now, Moses is dealing with a group of people that were probably one of the most difficult churches to ever pastor. I'm talking that every time you turned around, they were as fickle as they come. I mean, this group of folks, they would follow him one moment, and buddy, the first crisis that come along, they were calling for his resignation. I mean, they would take and say, "Well, you know, you're the greatest leader ever." And then they turn around and say, "How dare you do this to us? And we can't believe you're doing this." And, oh, man, you read Moses' leadership with the children of Israel. What a great manual of knowing how to be a great leader. But I want to tell you something, folks. The children of Israel were the worst people to pastor in all the world. I'm telling you what's the truth. They would be very difficult to be able to find a pastor for these days in a typical Baptist church. Because notice that the first thing that Moses has to remind them of is to not be afraid. Fear ye not. You see, fear causes us to lose faith. Fear is that which is the opposite of faith. And so when we begin to be afraid, and when we allow fear to overwhelm us and fear to dominate us, we lose our hope. We lose our direction. We lose our focus. And when that happens in our lives, be honest, We tend to make some very bad decisions in our lives because we're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, the children of Israel, it says there in the middle of verse 10 that they were sore afraid. And they cried out to the Lord. And then Moses has to remind them to fear not. And notice some of the things that they said to Moses in verse 11 and 12. They said, "What, weren't the graves in Egypt not good enough? You brought us out here to die? Is not, didn't we tell you back in Egypt in verse 12, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?" And I read that and I went, they didn't say that. Go read the first part of Exodus when God's leading them out of Moses. Remember, they were loaded up and ready to go. Man, they hightailed it out of slavery. They got out of bondage and they were happy to leave the Egyptians. In fact, they were so happy they took everything they could with them. They took and spoiled the country and they were ready to leave. It's amazing the things that we say when we're afraid. It's amazing when fear gets a hold of us and grips us. We say things we don't mean. We say things we regret. We blame God many times for what we're going through and we get mad at God. As a pastor, I never understood why when people begin going through hard times, why they get mad and leave the church. Man, that's when you ought to be there. That's when you ought to show up. You ought to be first. You ought to be there when the doors open. You be the last one when they turn out the lights to leave. You ought to be on the altar, the first verse of the invitation. I mean, you ought to be there. Be in Sunday school. Be in prayer meeting. Because you need God right now. And you need to be with Him. You need to be around God's people. But man, I've never understood how people start going through a hard time. Boy, they quit. You can't find them. And they run out on God. They run out on everything. You know it. We've seen it. Fear has a way of causing us to take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on our circumstances. And so Moses has to remind them first not to be afraid, to fear not. Now, I don't know what you may be facing in your life today that causes you to be afraid. I don't know what you may be going through that where you wake up in the morning and you're afraid of what might happen today or what you may be facing. You may be facing some situations that none of us have any easy answers for. But can I remind you that there's a God in heaven who knows it all? God cares for you more than you could ever realize. God knows every detail. And by the way, God knows how it's all going to turn out. And if I can remind you of that this morning, if I can encourage you not to be afraid. In fact, when you go through and read the Bible, you'll find over and over and over and over and over again so many times in the Bible where God reminds us to not be afraid. He uses phrases like fear not. He uses things that be encouraged and be steady. And throughout the Bible, it's all about because we're human. And many times we focus on those circumstances. So first of all, Moses tells the children of Israel, he says, fear not. Notice number two. Notice the second thing he says. He says, stand still. Now, this is a good one right here and very important to understand. First, if he could help them to overcome their fear, then secondly, he reminds them to stand still. Now, for a lot of folks this morning, and we know in our world that we live in, that's very hard for some people. Some people, they're just like a jackrabbit all the time. Boy, they're just like a remember the old games where we go to the convenience stores and put a little thing in and shoot a ball up and it'd go bing, 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 and the lights and the bells and little machines and the ball. And there are some people who live their lives like that. They're bouncing from one thing to another. They're going over here and over here. They never stay still. And one circumstance causes the other here. Man, I'll tell you what's the truth. Whew, drives me nuts. Trying to keep up with all that. And some people live their lives like that. And Moses is telling, whoa, hang on. Don't be afraid. And by the way, would you just stand still? Would you just stop for just a little bit? The idea here is to stop and remember and reflect. The idea here is stand still. Don't forget what God has already done for you. Just stop. And a part of the assumption of this stand still is just be quiet for a little bit. You know, a lot of us could learn a few lessons and a lot of us would get a lot more accomplished if we quit talking and listen more. You know, And sometimes we talk too much and too fast and too early. And if we'd just been quiet for a little longer, we'd learn more, we'd listen more, and we'd be helped a lot more. But Moses had said, stand still. Stop! Well, would you just remember what God has already done for you? Now, the children of Israel have a very short memory. Because it wasn't just recently that they watched God destroy all the gods of Egypt through the 10 plagues. How that God, through those plagues, showed His power and authority over everything, over nature, over the rivers, over the crops, over the weather, over everything. And it destroyed the whole belief system of all the gods of Egypt to the Egyptian people and showed that God was the true God. God protected them. God led them out of bondage and brought them out and had done so many wonderful, great miracles. And now, the first time they face a crisis, they're ready to run back to Egypt. They're ready to run back to slavery. They're ready to run back to bondage and ready to live that. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Time out. Would you just stop? Think about what God's done for you. There's not a person in here this morning who could sit here and say, well, God's never done anything for me. Well, you're so wrong. You're so wrong. The fact that you're here this morning is a blessing from God. The fact you got up this morning and can breathe and can walk and can function. The fact that you're here today and not down at the funeral home making funeral arrangements for some family member. The fact you're not sitting in a hospital room or emergency room. Thankfully, you're not sitting in a jail cell somewhere. Thankfully, you're not standing on a roadside trying to figure out where your next meal is coming from. You've got so much to be thankful to God for today. And you can just stop and just remember. And if you'll just take and just stand still and be quiet for just a little bit and reflect, you'll remember that God has been so good to you. God has been, listen, I love the phrase that Dave Ramsey says, I'm better than I deserve. Boy, that's the truth. God has been better to us than we deserve. And there is certainly so much in that. But you know, one of the problems in our lives is that we don't slow down enough to reflect and remember what God has done. Especially when we face a crisis. Especially when we're facing something we think there's no way out. A.W. Tozer says, it is dangerous to be so busy that we have no time to wait on God. Boy, that's powerful. It's dangerous to be so busy that we have no time to wait on God. The Bible is filled with encouragement to all the great men and women of God and throughout the Bible to wait on God. Wait on God. Don't get in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. God doesn't work on your timetable. Have you figured it out already? God doesn't work on your clock. God works on His time. And we need to learn to wait on God. We need to learn to trust Him. We need to learn to let God take control because God is in control. And when we try to take control, we really mess it up. We make a mess out of everything. But we need to understand that God is always at work in our lives. God is doing some wonderful things. And you may not understand it. You may not see it right now. But you need to be reminded, don't be afraid. And then if you'll just stand still and watch and see what God's going to do. Oh, I just want to encourage you this morning. Whatever you may be facing that may be your Red Sea, maybe in front of you and you see no way out, can I remind you, just stand still. Wait on God. Don't get in a hurry. Don't make decisions you'll regret later. Don't do something that later on you'll realize that you got out of the will of God. Just stand still. Remember what God's already done. And that should remind you that if He's done it before, bless God, He can do it again. And by the way, we serve the same God that Moses served standing there at the Red Sea this morning. It's the same one. The same one that's telling Moses what to do is the same one that's telling you what to do this morning. So be encouraged. Stand still. Notice number 3 and last. He says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What is to see the salvation of the Lord? That means that is to see that the Lord can do what only the Lord can do. Stand still and watch God work. God is here to save you. God is here to deliver you. See what He can do. You know, it's amazing how that in our, especially our social media technologically advanced stage that we live in today, that it takes a lot to shock and surprise us now. Used to, I mean, it wouldn't take much, you know, shock. Woo, man, I can't believe that. Now you see stuff and you're like, wow. And you see something and something comes across the news, something comes across your feed on your smartphone, and it really doesn't shock us as much anymore as it used to. And we've gotten so accustomed to seeing things that we can't believe could happen. Can I tell you that God is more powerful than all of those things? God can make things happen that nobody can make happen. God can provide when nobody else can provide. And you see, many times I believe God puts us in front of our Red Seas to show us that it is God who's providing and working the way, and it's not you working your own way. See, when you get to the point and think that you can do it yourself, when you get to the point and think you've got it figured out, when you get to the point you think you've got it all in control and you're going to do it your way, guess what? God said, Whoa, wait a minute, buddy. I'm the one in charge. Let me show you and prove it to you. Sometimes He'll put you in a Red Sea. Sometimes He'll send the Egyptian army after you to make you think, whoa, wait a minute, hang on, I can't figure this out. I don't have an answer to this. I thought I had it done. I thought if I get this job and I get my degree, I thought if I could move on to this thing and I think I could figure this out, then one and two and three would all work out. And then when it doesn't work out, our whole universe and our whole mindset's flown. And the whole time we've been doing all that, we didn't ask God what He thought about it. We didn't ask God, God, what's Your will for my life? God, what do You want me to do in my life? What is it You have for me in my life to do? And God's been sitting back all along. Well, I got something totally different, but if you just fear not, stand still, and be quiet just a little bit, I'll show you something. God was about to teach the children of Israel one of the greatest lessons they'll ever learn. In fact, what's going to happen here is going to be that moment in Jewish history that would live forever. That whenever they got to a point, they could always point back, hey, remember what God did at the Red Sea. Don't ever forget what God did at the Red Sea. You know, we all have moments in our lives. That moment when we realized that we had to trust and follow God no matter what. There's always times in our lives where we can look back and we can see the moment where God and that crossroads showed how He was working in your life. It might have been a crisis. It might have been how He provided for you in a miraculous way. It might have been where He done something you didn't expect. But in all of those things, there's a place to where we come to. That crossroads. I call it this morning, your Red Sea. When you come to your Red Sea, you say, okay, we got a choice. We can trust God and trust God to figure this out and work this way out, or we're just going to give up. We're going to go back and we're going to live in bondage the rest of our lives, never knowing what was on the other side of the Red Sea. And we'll just live in slavery and we'll just do that. Now, which one do you want to do? Moses said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. See, the key here is the word, I want you to write this down, obedience. The key here is obedience. You see, one of the main things we must understand, our hope and God's working in our lives is always linked to our being obedient to God. I heard one time many years ago, God can never fully use a disobedient Christian. God can never fully use a disobedient Christian. Yeah, He'll provide. He'll, in spite of us, He'll work out things. He'll things will kind of go along. But how much do we miss out on if we would just be fully obedient to God and allow Him to fully use us as He wants to? See, the children of Israel had a choice right here. Obey God, let God handle it, or we're just going to bail on. We're going to quit this thing and we're going to just go back to Egypt. My pastor, who went to heaven 19 years ago this month, pastored over here in Denver for 28 years, same church, 28 years, used to say this. I don't know where he got the quote. I've seen the quote attributed to a lot of different other people, so I'm not really sure who originally made this statement. But he used to quote it a lot. I'd have it written down, and I'd use this, and it sort of summarizes what I believe God's wanting us to learn from this passage. And it's this. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Many of you have heard that. I'm not sure who wrote it, not sure who came up with it. I guess it really doesn't matter. But only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't know about you, but I believe that I would rather trust God and obey Him completely and allow Him to show a way out than to try to do it on my own and end up making the biggest mess that I could ever make. Could you imagine what the children of Israel, if they were allowed to figure this out on their own? They had a choice to either go back to Egypt, or some of them probably were already trying to figure out, let's form a committee, and let's get together, and let's build some kind of boat. Let's get some kind of a way to get across the Red Sea. Let's figure out how we can escape the army. And I'm sure they were probably some group over here, some little group over there, and somebody out in the parking lot, and somebody after Sunday school, they're kind of conniving behind the scene. They're doing something. They're trying to figure this thing out, and they're trying to, instead of trust God and trust the man of God to lead them, they're trying to do it on their own. And wait a minute! That's not what God wants. God says, obey me, follow me. And He was about to do something in front of them they'll never forget. We know the story. We know how that He tells Moses to hold the rod out, and God parts the Red Sea wide open. Causes a strong east, strong wind to blow. He puts the angel of the Lord in between this fire to keep the Egyptians away from him. So while 1.5 million people walk across dry land through the Red Sea, could you imagine being in that? Here they go. Got the kids. Got all the kids now. Got the goats and the sheep. And there we go. You're moving everybody. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what it took to do that? And here they go. They're walking through, and they got a wall of water on one side, wall of water on the other, and Egypt and the armies behind them, and the promised land's this way. And so here they go, and they're going through. And imagine by the time they got in the middle of that Red Sea, I wonder if some of them went, whoo, Lord. You know, back where we come from, we say things like, man, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And I'm wondering if some of them got in the middle of this thing and said, you think this is what we ought to do? And I'm sure somebody said, oh, hush, just keep moving. You know, just whatever, keep going. And you're looking at the wall, and I'm sure maybe some big old catfish pops his head out on the side. Look around, and some kind of fish. I'm not sure how that worked, but could you imagine the scene? And they're walking through this big wall of water. They all get to the other side. God tells Moses, hold his rod back out again, hold rod. And then the water comes down, and as it does, the Egyptian army can now see because God moved the fire, and they look and they say, oh, they're on the other side. How'd they get over? I don't know. Look at all that. Hey, let's go. Go follow them. And so by the time that they get all the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, God lets the water loose. The Bible says that these Egyptians in verse 13, whom you've seen today, you'll see them again no more. God wiped out the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea and drowned them. While they're standing on the banks of the other side, they look back to the Red Sea, where they were on the other side, afraid, scared, even saying they'd rather go back to Egypt and live there as slaves. Now here we're standing on the other side of the Red Sea, and in the middle of the Red Sea, all they see is floating bodies of dead Egyptian soldiers, horses and chariots, and the whole thing wiped out. That's all they see now. Seas come back, and they're standing here. They were there, now we're here. They're drowned and we're not. What happened? God made a way. God made a way. You see, the little committee was trying to devise a way how to get over there. They didn't come up with that one. They couldn't come up with a way to build a wall to separate the water. What did God do? God did something that only God can do. You see, when we find ourselves facing our Red Sea this morning, when we find ourselves with the Egyptian army behind us and it looks like there's no way out of our circumstances, and in the place where we find our lives this morning, you think there's no way out, but can I tell you, God has a plan that if He can part the Red Sea, bless God, stay with me right now. Here we're done. If God can part the Red Sea and have 1.5 million Israelites walk over on dry ground and then drown the Egyptian army where they wipe out the most powerful army in all the world at that time, if God can do that, God can provide for your need this morning. God can take care of your problem. God can solve your situation, whatever you find. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty dire strait that they were in. And it's the same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that tells you this morning, I love you. And I care for you. And I know what you're going through. And even though you don't know a way out, God said, I know the way out. And the way out is right through there. Just follow me. Just trust me. Don Mullen wrote a beautiful song several years ago. We've used it in musicals in our churches through the years. And it's titled, God Will Make a Way. It goes like this, and I close. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He'll make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each day, He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His Word will still remain. And He will do something new today. Because God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Whatever you're facing this morning, maybe you're here and you say, I have no way. It seems like I cannot find my way to God. God's already made a way for you. He did it at what we sung about a while ago on the cross. He sent His precious Son to die for your sins. You can't make your way to heaven. God's already done it for you. He's already paid for your sin debt. All He simply asks for you to do is trust Him. Believe in Him. Believe in Him and trust Him for your salvation today. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You think there's no way that God can save you, but can I tell you, God can save you. God will save you. He's the only one that can save you if you'll just trust Him. That's your greatest need this morning. You come and accept Christ's gift of salvation this morning and turn to Him. Maybe you hear and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm a member of this church or some other church, but nobody knows what I'm going through. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. God will make a way. Just trust Him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Musicians coming to lead us in a closing hymn of invitation this morning. And as we prepare to sing, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed me white as snow. Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I do not know Christ. I've tried doing it my own way, but I can't do it anymore. Jesus invites you to come. I invite you to come. Come before this congregation this morning and accept Him and proclaim Him publicly as your Lord and Savior. Don't leave this place today unless you know you're saved. But can I remind you who are saved? God will make a way. Whatever it is you're facing this morning, there's no problem too big for God. And there's no circumstance that's beyond His control. Just simply trust Him. Simply come here. I wish I had all the answers. I told Justin that you'll learn as a pastor, there'll become times you'll be very frustrated because you don't know what to do or what to say. I reminded him and I remind you, always point people to Jesus. Always point people to Jesus, because there is your answer. That's where you'll find your hope. That's where you'll find your way. If you need to come and get on this altar is open. Do business with God. Whatever you need to do to be right with God this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now, May your Holy Spirit work and move and convict and draw. Whatever we need to do to be right with you today, I pray we would do it in this moment, at this invitation. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with us?